88.5 KCSN. My name's Jeff Penfield. Joined live in studio by Robin Pecknold of Fleet Foxes. New album coming out this week is called Crack Up. And really excited for this. The historic Hollywood Bowl coming up on September 23rd. Got a big show coming up. Thank you so much for taking some time out today.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
So I think the big story here, the thing that everybody's going to focus on, is it's been 6 years since Helplessness Blues, your last album. And to an extent, it almost seems like part of that time was just focused on taking time away from making albums, from producing music, and kind of finding yourself. I mean, how was that? What were you doing during those 6 years away?
I think that's right. I think I'd been really focused on music from like 15 to 25 or 26. And had kind of, once we stopped touring that album, I kind of realized all the stuff I'd missed out on and was sort of, maybe thinking that if I wanted to, whatever I wanted to do ultimately musically would be served if I brought in my, range of experiences to draw from or something, you know, cause I didn't want to do the third album that was sort of took place on a tour bus or dealing with, you know, processing success or something. I wanted to have like a different set of experiences to be drawing from. So it was sort of like running an experiment on myself with my life.
Almost like escaping the bubble. Cause when you're in this music community, you know, whether it's on the road, whether you're just like focusing on recording an album, you're almost in this bubble, whether it's the studio, the tour bus, the venue, it's like you kind of have these places that you're used to all the time. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, what else is out there in the world?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it can be really, you learn a lot in that situation too, but it's true that it is kind of, it's a little bit static in terms of, yeah. And, maybe musicians who are in that situation need to intentionally like break out of it to not be stagnant.
And was there anything that you particularly found along the way? Was there something that you kind of said, you know what, I'm really happy that I was able to get this experience that you found went through the music? Or even maybe if not, was there something that, you know, you just said, you know what, I'm very happy that I was able to take time and experience this during that time away?
Surfing. I started surfing, which I still do, and that's a cool thing to have in the back pocket for touring. But most of that time was, I guess, I was at college, and the main thing I took away from that, aside from some arrangement stuff and some assorted things that helped with making the album, the main thing I took away from that was context, because it made recording the record feel like total freedom. And being self-directed again, coming out of school and just recording felt really kind of luxurious or freeing. Kind of flipped it back around so that music was a release from something else you were doing all day, you know, and not my main job.
I'm all that I need. Ain't no peace. And I'm light on my feet. Good to be without you. Distant light, distant dancer, mute at midnight. But I'm all that I So it's true, I've gone too far to find. don't believe you. Are you at home? I'll come right now. I need to see you. Thin as a shin, Scottish pale. Bright white light like a bridal veil. I don't need you cut. Was a child in the ivy then. I never knew you, you knew me. Not like you knew me. Off on the other ocean now, all is beyond you, all.
It's kind of interesting you talk about this freedom, and now you've joined a label that kind of helps you out with that as well. Nonesuch being, you know, a label that goes everything from Steve Reich to Robert Plant's on the label. Mm-hmm. It's like all these different kind of artists that they've been able to bring together. What was that like being able to work in that realm too?
Yeah, that was a big, that was a big draw. Just the breadth of music they release and how inclusive it feels and how kind of utopian it is almost, you know. It's I feel like the record, there are moments on the record where certain songs are trying to say, like there are songs on this album where there are two halves that are very drastically different styles, and that's kind of trying to say like both of these styles are valid or something. And I feel like that's kind of what drew us to Nonesuch, you know, just the breadth of what they release.
And for me, I listened not only to the album, but also back to Helplessness Blues, and kind of saying, okay, what did change? What did you kind of expand upon? And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a Fleet Foxes record. There's still those gorgeous harmonies in there. But I think vocally, it sounded like you took a few more chances.
Yeah, the singing, I wanted to be a little more theatrical or something, like almost thinking about a state of mind and then kind of really leaning on how to deliver that in the most evocative way or the most extreme way. So yeah, dropping the voice really low, kind of mumbling or sounding very wounded or laconic or something, and then also singing at the absolute top of my range as kind of feminine and high as I could, and just wanting this real a width of extremes on the and how the vocals were delivered.
And was there anything during that time away that really said, you know what, let's try to make something a little more theatrical, give it a little more, you know, dips and heights, and just kind of throw a little change up in there? Was there something that really you felt like that's what influenced me to start really thinking about doing that with my music?
Probably this Nicholas Rogue movie Walkabout, mm-hmm. and then this Orson Welles movie F for Fake. And then there was this other, like this fake documentary Stories We Tell a few years ago. I think I watched all those movies kind of together, and there was something by the way they were edited or presented that felt very like the editorial was really important. So there was not only what was on screen, but there was the way it was assembled was integral to what the movie was. And so I started thinking more about having a kind of an editorial phase in the recording process, or wearing more of an editorial cap, you know?
Thank you.
this also brought in a little bit of Japanese influence, a little bit with the cover art, and Odaigahara.
Uh-huh.
Did I say that correctly?
I think so.
We get these like little guides and how you pronounce things. You're like, I still don't know if I'm saying it right, but that's actually a mountain in Japan. And so was there anything that, any reason why you started bringing that into for this particular record?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Hamaya photos that we were lucky enough to use, I just thought they were striking and kind of, the cover, even though it's a landscape, I feel like it has this psychological quality where it feels like dramatic in this human way. And the eye travels around these different textures in this interesting way to me. I like that it was, when you first look at it, you can't tell if it's a photograph or a painting. And that relates to some of the stuff about perception on the record to me. As far as Odaigahara, I think there's like, what is that, Coppola, every Godfather movie has a recipe in it or something. So so it seems that now we have this tradition, lame or not, of having a mountain title on every Fleet Foxes record. So I was trying to keep that going. And then that part of the song, to me, in my mind, takes place in Japan. So that's why we use the word. That's why we use the Odaigahara. And it's actually, I was looking for a title like that, and I actually found that in the Hamaya landscape photography book. So
the first song literally comes out of Grown Ocean naturally. It was something where this is a almost like, hey, we've been gone for 6 years, but we're continuing what we're doing. We're back, and we're, you know, here's the next iteration of what Fleet Foxes is about.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of went behind that decision to do that?
That was like, I guess like the last chord of Helplessness Blues was left off, intentionally of that album. It was kind of left unresolved. That album ends with these two voices kind of singing together. And so when thinking about getting this album going, it's like, well, we should probably resolve that, that missing chord that was on the last album briefly. And it happens to be an F chord. So this album actually begins with an F chord and ends with an F chord, or kind of ends with an F chord before the epilogue. So it's like bookended by FF, you know. So that's like I just have all these little things.
You have gone out on your own solo to do some shows in between. So at least you've gotten back on the stage and started that side of things back up. I mean, Hollywood Bowl though is such a historic venue that you're going to be able to go to. I know last time you were in town, you were in the Greek Theater, but, you know, what does it mean to you that you're able to take that step up and go to the Hollywood Bowl and play in a place that's just got so much history?
I still sort of can't actually believe that's even happening. And it's great too, because we're doing it with Beach House. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of our first shows, our first tour in the UK and in Europe was a 6-week tour with Beach House, playing to, you know, 30 to 50 people a night for the most part. I think we've figured it out for us at least.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it's Robin Pecknold here of Fleet Foxes. So happy that you're able to stop on by. Love the new album called Crack Up. It's out now. And Hollywood Bowl, big show coming up with Beach House, like you said, on September 23rd. Thanks again so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.